Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag.
You big dummy.
Drew Brees, you're a sucker. You're going to be a sucker.
I looked up to you. You're somebody who I had a great deal of respect for. But sometimes you should shut the f*** up.
Dale Arnold.
Baseball is still at a complete impasse right now.
Owners are backed into a corner right now.
The problem is I can't play 100 games and pay you full salary.
Rich Keefe.
All right, it's that time of the week. A little toe drag swag.
Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
Drew Brees.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number four of Dale and Keefe. No Dale. Wiggy is here. We're going to talk to one of his former teammates, Nate Burleson, coming up about 10, 15 minutes from now. He now with the NFL Network. Get his thoughts on what's been the biggest topic of the last 24 hours. What Drew Brees said, everybody's reaction to Drew Brees, then Drew Brees' apology and how people view that. So we'll have all that coming up. Yep, there's sort of the highlights of his Instagram post. But Wiggy, last hour we did our top five Boston sports what-ifs, not counting Len Bias.
Right.
That's how the conversation got started, because we talked with A'Sherrod Blakely about Len Bias and, you know, what could have been there. So we came up with our own lists. We tweeted it out. There was a little bit of confusion with the graphic.
That's all right, but we were able to...
we were able to figure it out.
Yeah,
Wiggy's order might be a little out of whack. And also,
right,
when we posted it, there's no thing on there that says not counting Len Bias.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the responses I've gotten online or what about Len Bias? So
I got a few, like, you know, what if Cam Neely didn't
get
hurt?
Yeah, so go through some of the ones that you've gotten. Because I got, yeah, the Cam Neely one I got. This one I got was the, like, what if Grady Little pulled Pedro in
03? Right, right. I got that.
One.
There was just a Babe Ruth on there. There was...
yeah, Babe Ruth. Babe,
yes.
We're going back a ways, but yeah. What if they didn't just
there was another Bobby Orr. What if Bobby Orr doesn't get hurt?
Curtis Martin's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
If Curtis Martin, if they were able to keep Curtis Martin in the 90s or the late 90s there.
What about if Brady had never gotten injured in 08?
That's a good one.
What do you think, they just would have won that year?
I mean, they were coming off an undefeated regular season.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Arizona Cardinals, led by Kurt Warner, were the team in the Super Bowl for the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
So all they had to do was beat Pittsburgh basically on the way to the AFC championship.
Well, here's another one that I like, right? And this is just Jay Smith, he put out there. What if Parcells never left and Belichick stayed with the Jets?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so if Parcells...
Yeah, that one's crazy.
If Parcells never leaves in the 98 after, what's that, the 97 season, 96 season?
96, yeah.
Right? And then, you know, so how long does he then coach for, right?
Yeah, true. Although, I mean, you did have Pete Carroll in between and, like, the whole thing. I don't know with the Belichick. But, yeah, I mean, both the Parcells and the Curtis Martin ones are both...
Or the Belichick would have, Bill did stay at the Jets.
Yeah, right. What would the Jets have been? Could he have made them a winner if he stayed there?
Right. Pretty interesting.
Let's see. Some of the other ones here. I mean, most of them are Len Bias. Again,
yeah,
it was not clear.
Is there any, like... what about if Bill plays Malcolm Butler?
Yeah, no, that's one. And I thought, to me, like, the what if, like, what would have, yeah, they probably would have won, period. Mm. Like, that's kind of it. Whereas, to me, the ones that I put on my list impact, like, decades. Like, if you drafted, if the ping pong balls went a certain way and you got Tim Duncan,
right,
then you have Tim Duncan for his whole Hall of Fame career. You probably win multiple titles with Tim Duncan. Maybe with Kevin Durant you do. If Bledsoe doesn't get hurt, who knows how long he's the quarterback? Who knows what Tom Brady's career is?
And who knows what Belichick's career is?
And Belichick. But if they played Butler, I don't know, they probably win that one.
Yes.
Right? Like, it only affects really one game. Now, it's significant because it's the Super Bowl, but they won the Super Bowl the very next year. So it's not like it derailed them from ever winning again.
Oh, what if?
So that's why he wasn't on my list.
Right. What if it was it Javis Green or Ty Warren sacks Eli Manning?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Or Asante Samuel.
Right. Or Rodney Samuel Harrison comes up gets with the football out. Yeah. And it's like.
So that one.
Wes Welker's catch.
Even though the 07 Super Bowl is only one game, that's different to me because they would have been the greatest team of all time.
Right.
You know, whereas if you beat the Eagles, like, that's obviously great and it's still a Super Bowl.
Right.
But, okay, you beat Nick Foles and the Eagles.
Right.
But if you cap off an undefeated season. So, yeah, you could say, like, if the Tyree catch doesn't happen, if Ty Warren sacks Eli, if, you know, whatever.
Well, even if they don't win, like you said, even if they don't, like, let's say they don't win the Atlanta Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
But you're able to win the 07 Super Bowl. That would have been 07 would have been what, their fourth Super Bowl?
Yep.
So let's say if they don't even win a fifth or a sixth and they just win four, but the fourth.
But they have the undefeated season.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty different argument there.
Uh-huh. Somebody mentioned Robert Edwards. He was good,
right,
for sure.
Yeah.
And that was such a stupid.
Yeah, it was just that was a horrible accident. Bowl. Yeah, just, you know, him out there.
Ooh, P.P. Dawkins says, what if Kendrick Perkins wasn't traded? Because that's one of the few trades that I feel like Danny Ainge absolutely lost. And they might win it that year. They traded him away. They relied way too much on Shaq and Jermaine O'Neal. So
what if Kevin Durant signs with the Celtics and what year was that when he came here on his visit when he was a free agent? And he met with Brady and they rolled out Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah, the clinic. He met with Kelly the clinic Olynyk. Didn't seal the deal, though, unfortunately.
That would have been so you had KD and then you might have ended up getting Kyrie for the trade. So when you do get Kyrie, KD's already here.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Hmm.
So unfortunately, it looks like we have some bad news, Wiggy.
What's the bad news?
Nate Burleson cannot join us.
Oh, man, Nate, come on,
the
bro.
The reason, normally I'd be more mad about this, but the reason might be the only reason in the world that flies, and it's because he has to interview Spike Lee.
Yeah, okay.
So what does that mean, bro? You can't do us and then interview Spike Lee when you're done?
Spike's on Spike's schedule, Wiggy.
Listen.
Yeah, but I mean, we had a schedule. We had this book. We even made a little graphic.
Right.
You see the little graphic we took?
I would be like,
that's pretty much like in stone. Like, you're chiseling that thing in
stone.
I'd be
like,
Nate,
bro, listen. Tell Spike you're going to call him back in like 20 minutes. Hold
tight.
Or they
can just both come on with us. There you go.
Right. Or you can
we'll
call,
take Spike.
You know, we can do a conference call. But if you can't, hey, Spike, hold on. You ain't going nowhere because of the stay-at-home order. You ain't making any movies right now, which he does have a good movie. Looks like it's coming out on Netflix. The Five Bloods. You'll have to check that out with Chadwick Boseman. So that might be one of the movies.
When does that come out? That's soon, right?
Yeah.
June 12th.
Yeah, that one's soon.
Oh, so a week from Friday.
Man,
all right.
You could have.
Check that out.
Spike Lee, man, he could have held off for 20 minutes.
Oof, we got blown off for Spike Lee. That's, I don't think, ever happened to us before. That's new.
Yeah, so. I'm gonna have some words with Nate on that one.
Okay,
former good. Teammate or Spike Lee?
It's the number five. What if in Boston sports history?
what if Nate Burleson?
Yeah.
So at least my graphics not the only one that was a little bit out of whack because we did have the Nate Burleson graphic up.
Oh my goodness. Well, yeah, we 0-2 on graphics today.
Who's making these graphics?
Oh, man, I am fearful of the next graphic that is made. There's no chance it's going to be right.
What do you think Spike Lee's going to really say? I mean, come on, what would Spike going
to
say?
This isn't as bad as the week that Kobe died. Ice Cube's people actually did answer me just to, like, string me along a little,
right,
and then it just didn't happen, so.
Well, you know what you should tell Nate? Here's what you should tell Nate.
Let's do the top five.
I don't have Nate's number.
Huh?
Here's what you have Nate's number?
Well, he does. No, I don't.
Yeah, well, you should tell Nate this. Hey, listen.
Do you want me to tell him for you? Is that what this is?
Yes, you tell him for me. Or I can
text him. Why don't you just tweet at him or text him?
I'll just text him, right? Hey, bro, you owe us one. So that one is, we want Spike Lee's number so we can then interview him.
Yeah, we want Spike. We want Spike. Forget, you know, we don't even need to talk to Nate. We're going to talk to Spike next week. That's the point. I was looking up Nate Burleson stats because I remember him being, because I'm a dork, but I was looking him up and because I remember him being really, really good his last year in college.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't remember just how good he was. So he went to Nevada.
Yes.
He had his senior year in 12 games, 138 catches for 1,629 yards and 12 touchdowns.
Nate was a good player, man.
The guy Nate who was talented. Second on the team in catches had 100 fewer catches. So they only threw to him. That's all. They drop back and look for Nate.
That's it.
Like, that's a high school offense.
That's exactly what that is, playing in Division I college football.
That is really funny.
Wow.
So, yeah, he was the great. He had some good years in the pros, too.
Yeah, the second guy on the list was 100 catches behind him. That's nuts. I don't think I've ever heard that before. I thought you were going to say, like, 70 or 80.
No, I was like, he had, like, 38 or 39. And then, but you know that kid could walk around school and be like, you know, I'm the second leading receiver on the team. He's like, yeah, it's true. You get the ball every, like, third game. But anyway, we're going to have to regroup. You know, we were going to talk to Nate Burleson. We are not. Maybe we will reschedule. It only really makes sense to have him on a day when Wiggy's on, so we'll try to figure all of that out.
And maybe we could do a graphic for the top five Spike Lee movies.
Oh, that's a good idea. I like that a lot.
Do the Right Thing's number one.
Probably. Yeah, Do the Right Thing's probably number one. Did you see the 25th Hour?
The 25th Hour. Hold on.
That's the Ed Norton one?
Did I see the 25th
Hour? Awesome. Awesome movie. You should watch 25th Hour if you haven't.
I might have seen that. I don't know if I saw that.
All right, maybe we'll talk about Spike Lee movies. You can join us as well. 617-779-7937. It is Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now back to Dale and Keefe.
I'll let this cat out of the bag
on WEEI.
Back here on Dale and Keefe. No Dale today. Wiggy is here. We were supposed to talk with one of Wiggy's former teammates, Nate Burleson. Unfortunately, Nate is interviewing
Spike Lee
right now.
Yeah.
So we are not going to get a chance to talk to Nate today, but maybe we'll reschedule that. Too bad. He and Wiggy did the first ever sports vlog.
Yeah, podcast type thing. I think it was
no evidence it ever happened, but Wiggy,
you know,
claims
it's out
it
there. You just gotta dig.
Turn over some stones, you'll find it.
We're really got our eyes peeled looking for that. Now, most players, so we were on yesterday when Drew Brees made his comments, or at least when his comments were made public, and then right after the fact, guys like Michael Thomas were tweeting about it, and then even later in the day, there was a whole bunch of reaction, and we've already played you a whole bunch of it, whether it was Malcolm Jenkins or Steven Jackson or Ed Reed, a lot of these guys taking videos and just posting them on social media and just ripping Drew Brees. So, no surprise, Drew Brees this morning goes on Instagram, apologizes. Wiggy, fair to say you liked 90% of the apology?
Yeah, and then once you make that kind of statement at the end, then you start to wonder, like, was it really an apology, or was it just like, all right, hey, we got to put something together?
He kind of had to do something. And so at the end, he says, I'm sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday. Kind of the classic, I think we've all been there, where they're like, oh, I'm sorry that you're hurt.
Right.
Like, wait, like, I'm sorry that you feel that way.
Right.
Like,
or you don't understand. I'm sorry that you don't understand my point. Yeah. You know, like one of those apologies.
Yeah.
Not that you're telling me you're sorry for what you actually said, and you see how wrong it was, and you understand where you went wrong, and you're understanding that. It's just more like, I'm sorry that you're upset about this because you don't really understand my point.
Don't you think everybody can sort of, at a different level, obviously not as well-known as Drew Brees, you're not going to get quite the same reaction, but just even in, like, your daily life, there are things that you can say, and then as soon as you say them, you yourself are like, oh, shoot. Like, I shouldn't have said that. Or, in this case, I don't think Drew Brees felt that way until he saw what the response was.
Right.
Now, I could be wrong, but, again, if you start with the, I'm sorry about the way they were perceived, that doesn't mean it was like, oh, I let something slip. Everybody messes up. You can't just destroy somebody for one mistake. People make mistakes.
Right.
But I'm curious. This is more like we see it. We've seen worse ones, by the way, of like the I'm sorry I got caught. Like there's that guy all the time. Like, were you sorry that you did something wrong, or were you sorry that people know that you did something wrong? And I feel like with Breeze, it does seem a little bit more like if he only got like a few people criticizing him, but most people are like, yeah, good for you, Drew. Like, stand up. You know, I think he wouldn't have had this post this morning. There's no way.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I agree. And I think that he probably looks at it. And, you know, if he's probably sitting there at home, he's probably like, oh, I don't understand why everybody's so upset. And, you know, I meant it this way. I can't believe that they taking it this way. And, you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand where the problem is. And I think he's still he's still probably making excuses for what he said.
Yeah.
Or defending, so maybe defending just, what he said.
And it's really damage control because he knows he has to go back in the locker room and see all these guys, including Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara and Malcolm Jenkins, who was really emotional and upset at what he said. Now, another one of his teammates, DeMario Davis, went on CNN, and he sort of took what Drew Brees said and maybe had a little bit of a different take on it.
Hearing Drew's apology, and that's the first, you know, I you know, heard it. I think that is a form of true leadership. And I would say it because that's taking ownership. What we had hoped the first time was that Drew would elaborate more on racism and the sentiments of the Black community. He admitted he missed the mark. So for him to come out and say, you know, I missed the mark, I've been insensitive. But what I'm going to start doing is listening and learning from the Black community and finding ways that I can help them. I think that's a model for all of America, because historically, in general, most of America has missed the mark and not hearing the cries. These aren't new cries that are coming out on behalf of the Black community. I mean, the Black community been crying for a long time. Now it's turned into a global outcry that it's time to stand up for Black lives and make sure that they're not being killed in the streets and putting an end to racism and systematic injustice that has plagued this country for so long. For him to admit that he was wrong and say, you know what, I can do better and I will do better, that is a leadership at its finest. That's not easy to come out and admit when you're wrong.
What do you think of that,
Will? Well, I think there are going to be some people that are going to accept his apology and they're going to be cool with it. I mean, Michael Thomas, he took to Twitter to kind of respond to Drew Brees' apology, and he basically said,
I have it here if you don't.
Oh, you got it? You can read it.
Yeah. Michael Thomas said, one of my brothers made a public statement yesterday that I disagreed with. He apologized, and I accept it because that's what we are taught to do as Christians. Now back to the movement. Hashtag George Floyd.
Right. So I think it's going to be, what does Drew Brees then do moving forward, right? What is he now? Is he, you know, who knows? Maybe Drew Brees, it affects him so much and he starts to see and he starts to understand that the plight that Black people deal with in America, maybe then what he does during the season, maybe he kneels with some of his fellow African-American teammates, right? Mm. And then maybe that's like, wow, here's a guy that, you know, initially thought that kneeling was, he didn't even agree or he didn't want to hear from you because it was so disrespectful. Now look at him, you know, showing unity by kneeling with some of these guys. Now, I'm not saying he's going to do that, but, who knows what his next step is, right?
Yeah.
I think when you look at his apology, I'll always kind of look and go, okay, it was good until you get to that point of, then you say.
But most of it was good, and I think that's what Michael Thomas and that's what DeMario Davis are kind of, they're leaning on that more so than anything else.
And I think that's it. So, you know, I'm kind of like, I'm more like, yo, show me rather than tell me.
Let's see what
your next step is. Let's see, you know, not that you got to go out there and you got to donate money or anything like that. Let me just see how you move, how you move from here on out when it comes to that.
And clearly, like, if he didn't say anything the next day, it would have been even worse, right? So, like, he at least, I don't know if this was 100% his idea, if he has like a PR guy, mm-hmm. if he has, obviously he has an agent. Like, I don't know what it was.
See, that's why I like the video apologies better than the written apologies.
Yeah, you think you get a little bit better. Right. Like, you're like, this guy, even if he wrote it down, he at least is speaking it out, right? Like, you can still script it. But
right, but at least I'll see his emotions. Right, yeah. I'll see his emotions. I'll get a feel of, like, okay, is this guy really, you know, sincere with this apology? You know, sometimes don't even write it down. Speak from the heart, you know, and then I can see that. I can go, you know what, I really feel I accept that apology, you know, mm-hmm. based on, because when somebody writes it down, you don't know. You know what I mean? You don't know if that's somebody else decided to write it or whatnot. And that's why I do like the video apology.
Yeah. We have a little bit more from DeMario Davis on CNN.
For a long time, I feel like a lot of people have taken that posture of not wanting to admit that they're wrong. And for him to do that, I think that's very symbolic of America, especially all the ethnic groups that aren't people of color or black people, in understanding, hey, it's okay. You might have got it wrong, but don't get it wrong now. And that's what we have to be as a country. We can't get it wrong this time. You know, we all have played a part also in helping try to direct the narrative away from the issues. We've all played a part in that, you know, and getting caught up in different topics. At the end of the day, police brutality in America is a problem. Racism in America is a problem. Systematic injustice is a problem. And the reason why there are millions of people of all different backgrounds, all different colors, all different ethnic groups in the streets right now protesting, and around the world protesting on behalf of Black lives, is because it's a global outcry, because, you know, racism exists, systematic injustice exists, police brutality exists, especially around Black people, and we need to fix it. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah, and he's 100% on, and mm-hmm. I heard OMF talking about this yesterday, and you know, I started to call my boy Jermaine and East Boston to have him call into the show, because they were talking about the All Lives Matter, right, and the guy getting fired for the Sacramento Kings, and they didn't really understand, you know, from talking, they couldn't really grasp why Black people feel a little bit like a slap in the face when people instantly run to All Lives Matter. And I think, you know, maybe with some of this stuff that's going on, we can, that's another conversation that I think, you know, if Drew Brees and a lot of other, you know, white people go, well, okay, so what is it with All Lives Matter? Why is that such a you know, why do you feel like slighted a little bit when people say that? And I think that, you know, like Drew Brees, and, you know, I think with this whole movement with OMF, they don't understand when you say All Lives Matter, or you don't really sympathize with what the Black, you know, what Black people have dealt mm-hmm. with for so long. I think that's kind of like, you know, you're missing the point. You know what I'm saying?
I think I do. And I think the easiest way to kind of wrap your head around it, we love analogies, uh-huh. right, Wiggy? It's easy to have analogies. I think the one of, you know, if there's a house on your street that's on fire,
right,
and everybody's rushing over to help it, and they're like, we got to save this house. And then I'm over here being like, hey, all houses matter. And you're like, yeah, but yours isn't on fire right now. This one is on fire. So, yeah, all lives do matter, but right now that's not the issue. Like, all lives aren't the ones that are being oppressed right now.
Right, and I think that's...
And for so long.
Right, and I think that's part of what people have to understand. And so when they do then say that, you know, like they use that, it shouldn't be about Black Lives Matter. It should be about... It's almost like you're basically saying, what? Wait a second. Yeah. The problem we have is with Black people. Right, those are the lives that, you know, we know it's like, you know, Captain Obvious, all lives matter. We understand that, who's dealing with the injustices on an everyday basis? Who's dealing with, you know, we've talked about this before. Who's dealing with being looked at differently? Who's dealing with being followed around the store? Who's dealing with, why are you in this building? Who's dealing with, why are you in this neighborhood? Who's dealing with being pulled over a number of times? Not that it's always going to end in violence, and that's the only time we should highlight it, but, you know, who's being racially profiled? And when you look at it, it's the Black people that are living in America.
Right.
You know, they're the ones that are dealing with it.
I almost feel like, I mean, and again, it's hard to speak for other people, but for the All Lives Matter crowd, it's almost like they're offended, and they feel like
that the black lives are now being elevated over everybody else's. And you're like, no, 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 we're just trying to have equality. We're just trying to, you know, bring them up a little bit. And then at that point, everybody could say all lives matter if you want, but we're not, it doesn't seem to be in this country that we're at that level.
Well, it's, and I think this is what it is. And I think the biggest thing is that when you look at this country, black people have always been on the bottom. They've always been on the bottom, you know, in this country as far as race, right? It's that's the way we've always felt, right? Like we've always felt like we've been on the bottom, mm-hmm. and you know, from the things that we have to deal with on a daily basis, right? And I said it. I don't know a whole lot of Asian people, but I feel like Asian people don't have to worry about going into stores and being looked at or followed or being profiled or that kind of thing. So when I say I feel like we're on the bottom, that's part of it. You know, that's part mm-hmm. of what we as black people or people with black skin have to deal with, whether you're light skin, dark skin, brown right. skin, whatever it may be, you have to deal with that daily. And depending on where you live, depending on the community that you live in, it's you might even have to deal with it more so than others.
Yeah. We could use Drew Brees, but we're not going to for this one. But here's this week's take that needs a 180, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. You remember Laura Ingraham. She's had some things to say about athletes in the past. Mm-hmm. Well, she's got some more to say.
He's allowed to have his view about what kneeling and the flag means to him. I mean, he's a person. He has some worth, I would imagine. I mean, this is beyond football, though. This is totalitarian conduct. This mm-hmm. is Stalinist. And by the way, on the streets of New Orleans, we're looking at live pictures. They're yep. shouting F Drew Brees.
Wow.
That's what this moment has done to the beautiful team spirit of the New Orleans
this
Saints.
He's a great Christian man.
And she's the one that basically told
Shut up and dribble.
Yeah.
Shut up and dribble.
Yeah. I don't really know which one it is there for Laura Ingraham. Summer starts this month. If you're looking to lose weight fast, safely, and without the gym, call the solution for weight loss, Awaken 180 Weight Loss. And so, yeah, it's just one of those things. I mean, with her, you're not going to change her mind on these matters, but... So she's like, well, Drew Brees should be able to say whatever he wants to say. It's like, okay, fine. But then you got guys saying, you know, bleep Drew Brees. It's like, well, they can't do that. Like, that's wrong. And, like, she was shocked by the reaction to it. And I think what's getting lost for some people is it's not that Drew Brees it's not like he's saying everybody should he is saying that everybody should stand, right? Mm-hmm. And he's not allowing himself to see through the eyes of somebody else. Like, right. We all don't have the same experiences.
Right.
But at the same time, Malcolm Jenkins and, you know, fill in whatever other player you want, isn't mad at Drew Brees for not kneeling, but he's just hoping that he understands why that he is.
Right, and that's the problem. It's the Drew Brees, it's the Laura Ingrahams, it's, you know, I like I told you, when we were talking to Curtis today, it's the Clay Travises. It's, they don't feel like there's an issue. And that's the problem. That's why we are where we are when it comes to we can't really understand and get along and agree with it, because there are a ton of white people that don't really feel like there's an issue. There's a ton of white people that think that white privilege is something that doesn't exist, it's made up. And so that's where we are in this situation when you're talking about race and why we have a problem, because you can't change their minds. Yeah. Right. And so if you can't change Drew Brees' mind and he say he doesn't understand why they're kneeling, because America's so great, look what we've been able to do.
Although you say you can't change their mind, you go back to hour number one of this show. Minds were changed.
Well, yeah, that is true.
Minds were changed. We did change
Michael's mind, right?
We did. So that you did. Well. And it's funny because I kind of felt the same way. I'm like, man, unfortunately, with issues like this, one of the reasons why it's been this way for so long is people are pretty dug in, and it's very unlikely to change their mind. And in the first hour, and I think it was sort of a combination both of what you had to say, but also the Patrice Bergeron statement, which I think was really well done. And people read that, and they were able to kind of wrap their minds around it. But, yeah, we had a caller in the first hour who said, when, for example, Kaepernick was kneeling at first. He hated it, couldn't stand it, didn't understand it, want to understand it, and then kind of realized why he was doing it and changed his mind.
Right.
So I was like, how about that?
So think about that. I mean, think about how we're moving race relations in this world. We are moving the needle.
Huge. Yeah, save this whole show, John. Yes. You're going to want to put this one off to the side. We might get awards.
And
you
know how when you do things, right? Anytime you do something, it's hey, if I can just get one person to change, I made a difference. And we did that with Michael. We changed his mind. He was out on WEI. He
didn't even like the station. Yeah, right. He was like, I'm out on the station now.
I'm not listening no more. I don't understand it. What is this white privilege stuff? I can't get it. And then, boom, within less than a minute, he's like, okay, I get it.
That was as crazy as as soon as the setup was, hey, Wiggy, explain white privilege to me. Right. I was like, are we even doing this? Mm-hmm. And then Wiggy did.
The way
Wiggy
you gave him a great answer. I agree with you 100%. First, I wasn't going to listen to EEI ever again because of you. But you just explained to me.
How about that?
And like I
We're
said, I've
here.
Never experienced.
Right.
What's
right.
that?
No,
because
serious,
you know he started because like, one of the things he started with was hey I grew up poor, I was from Dorchester, I didn't have nothing, and I said I understand that, but whether or not you are poor, you still have it. And then I proceeded to explain why he still had it, even as somebody who was a poor white person growing up in this country, where it still still had a little bit of white and then that's when you heard him go okay.
Yeah, I mean, we could definitely have conversations too. Like, there is a rich versus poor issue.
Yeah,
there's also male versus female issue.
Right. Like,
there are plenty of issues to get to, but what we've been talking about right now is different. And I thought when you explained the white privilege thing to him, it was incredible. He's like, yeah. I'm like, all right. All right, when we come back, there's a story here. I need to confirm this. Is this Jake Fromm stuff real? Are you guys looking at this on Twitter?
So I've tried to dive into this. Mm-hmm. I can't find anything of what he actually said. I just see people dragging him all over the place.
Oh,
right.
It's probably scrubbed. I see the text messages, but it's not from reliable sources. So I don't know if it's like made up, but it's for what's going on. Because basically, I saw Jake Fromm trending, and you're like, "What the hell's going on here?"
Right?
Like, did he say something stupid? He turns out he did. If this is true,
okay.
And because like the whole joke now is. Drew Brees is thrilled that Jake Fromm exists because now Jake Fromm's going to be taking some of the heat. But these are leaked text messages. This was not like him doing an interview and straight up saying it. So I can't confirm it, but we'll do a little bit more research, see if we can figure out why Jake Fromm is trending and why he might be doing Drew Brees a favor. And we'll also do what else you got when we come back here on Dale and Keefe with Wiggy Sports Radio, WEEI.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, wrapping things up here on Dale and Keefe with Wiggy. And I mentioned Jake Fromm is trending. But again, I can't confirm any of this because it is a screenshot of text messages.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Is there a way to, like,
you could
talk to that?
Easy.
Okay.
All right. Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Because all it is it's a picture of Jake Fromm, like whatever photo that she used. But maybe she or he could have gotten it from somebody, right? And then you can put, like, I could change the photo I have of you or whatever to something, to Jake Fromm, and I could write the contact as Jake Fromm, and then we could have a back and forth on text, and then I could post it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So this was from, like, March of this year, and it's basically, like, it's not a great look for Jake Fromm if it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that he would have a hard time, I think, in the locker room with. It's a race type of deal. So,
okay.
I don't really want to go with it, I don't think, because I feel like we don't know if it's legit. Although, John, did you say that Tre'Davious White liked one of the tweets?
Yeah, Tre'Davious White liked the tweet of the screenshots.
And I looked at Fromm's Twitter, and he doesn't look like a guy who tweets very much, so there's nothing there, but he's not very active anyway.
Right.
So
I guess
we've got to
keep digging on this Jake Fromm thing.
I would keep digging. Yeah, we got nothing to really report just yet.
It's
but
it's like my favorite show, right? First 48. You don't want to jump the gun on the first the first suspect you get. You know,
no, we're in like hour one right now on this Jake Fromm thing. So let's we're gonna put that to the side.
48 hours.
Yeah, tomorrow we may have more. We may wrap up the week with some
The first 48 is just the beginning.
yeah, this could all be this could just be a mess. So anyway, let's get to the stuff we didn't get to.
What else you got?
All right, let's go with Wiggy first. What do you got?
Okay, so everybody want, you know, we heard about Trump and had Trump being in the bunker when all the protests were everything were going on. Well, I guess Trump actually spoke about why he was in the bunker.
Well, it was a false report. I wasn't down. I went down during the day, and I was there for a tiny, little short period of time, and it was much more for an inspection. There was no problem during the day. The problem, I saw Leland got whacked pretty good, but that was during the night. And this problem, these problems are during the night, not during the day. And I go down, I've gone down two or three times, all for inspection. And you go there, someday you may need it.
So he was just inspecting the bunker, right? Yeah, it's like
that's all that was. Yeah, no big deal.
It's like it's going down in the basement, right? It's, you know, you go down there, you just, all right, make sure everything's good. All right,
that might have been the take that needs 180.
I got my nails and I got my tools over here. I know where everything is. All right, so we're good.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Yeah. What else you got,
Shime? What do you have? You got anything?
So yeah, so I have something today. These people have had some of the biggest beefs I've ever seen. And so now their new target is, of course, Drew Brees. Smash Mouth today, just 15 minutes ago, tweeted out, quote,
I'm sorry, Smash Mouth the band?
The band. Yeah, okay. As you can tell by the song playing in the background. One of my favorite bands as a child. Yeah. It tells you a little bit about me. But regardless,
walking on the sun,
15 minutes ago, they tweeted out, quote, Drew has to be the most tone-deaf effer on the planet.
Wow.
End quote.
Impressive. They don't
Smash
even swear
Mouth.
In their music.
They are attacking Drew Brees. You know when Smash Mouth is coming at you, you really did something wrong.
That's a tough day. You wake up to see Smash Mouth and the notifications crushing you. What do you like?
Yeah.
Just go back to
Smash
bed.
Mouth. And if Snoop's done a video.
Oh, Snoop's done a video on you.
Yeah, you're kind of like, uh-oh.
And if both happen, you are dead in the water.
Yeah, no, that is terrible. That's hard to bounce back from.
What else you got?
John?
So no sound for me, but I'm just going to read you guys this headline. I think it's the greatest headline
of
the year.
Oh, yes, I'm glad you have this. This
and
is fantastic.
If you had this in your 2020 pool. Oh, by the way, if you had San Andreas Fault Line in your 2020 pool, then you also won yesterday. But so if you had this headline in your pool, which not many people did, you won. So I'm going to read it to you here.
Yes.
Spanish porn star Nacho Vidal, who likes to advertise his aromatic candles shaped like male genitalia on Twitter, has been arrested.
You gotta finish it. You gotta finish.
Has been arrested on manslaughter charges following a man's death during a mystic ritual in which he inhaled psychedelic toad venom.
Unbelievable. It's the greatest headline of all time. There's everything that you want is in there.
Right.
And Netflix has just picked up the special. Like, they are ready to go. They're going to do a 10-part series on this guy.
What was his name again? Spanish porn star? What was his name?
Nacho Vidal.
Nacho Vidal.
Nacho. Nice name.
Nacho Vidal. I think I saw Barstool Big Cat tweet out something like...
Oh, that's funny.
He goes, you're like, great headline, no quit in it. It's start to finish the most obscene thing you've ever seen. Yeah, I.
This was also on the guy's website. Apparently, the inhalation of psychedelic toad venom was advertised as apparently harmless ancestral ritual.
So what do you think? He was just going to get high off the toad venom?
I don't know what we thought it was going to do.
You trip out a little bit on toad
right,
venom.
Right, like yeah, I want to get a, you know, I want to get a little buzz here. Get some toad venom.
But like, couldn't you have just left it at Spanish porn star Nacho Vidal has been arrested on manslaughter? That's kind of like,
yes,
that's the cliff notes. Version.
It was like a famous Spanish fashion photographer who he killed too.
Wow.
Oh, so that's not even in the headline.
Because you know it's cut.
They had to leave something out.
You know,
and you know who had this first? You know who had this article first? Yahoo Finance.
Oh boy.
What a day.
And you, because you know what's coming next, right? Now everybody's gonna start Googling Spanish porn star Nacho.
Oh, yeah. Nacho Vidal.
Nacho Vidal, just to see some of his work.
Like, no reason to throw in the fact that he likes to advertise his aromatic candles, which are shaped like the male genitalia on Twitter.
Mm.
Like, on Twitter? Why would you even include that? He has a Twitter account. All right, we'll tag him. Tag him, you coward. How come he's not? You got to tag him in there.
Do you want to know what they call that toxic toad venom, by the way?
Of course I do.
Yes.
Toad cake.
Toad cake.
Ugh. Toad venom? Now we got to worry about toad venom?
I guess. I mean, that's the new drug on the street.
What kind of mystical ritual was it? Did they get into specifics in the... I mean, obviously it involves toad venom, but I'm just wondering, is there anything... Is there any other
They wanted to get powers of the Doc universe.
The actor Michael McKean responds to the tweet, and he said, "A tale as old as time."
They're trying to summon Dormammu.
They're trying to summon Bagal, like in Rich's movie Sinister.
Yeah, Sinister. Yep.
What else you got?
By the way, Dale Keefe, WEEI, Twitter.
Oh, how's the vote? How's the vote going?
I think Dolomite's in the lead.
Yes.
Last I checked.
Currently leading Dolomite. 31%. But it's a close race. 31% Dolomite, 25% the other guys, 23% the Florida Project, 19% Sinister.
Oof. Come on. Losing Florida Project. Let's get let's turn it around here. Come on. That's terrible. So yesterday during What Else You Got, Wiggy played an old Chris Rock bit about the bad apples, and it's very topical now and it's very funny. And so I have one. We were talking about comedians yesterday. So Bill Burr is one of my favorite comedians, and this was also from years ago, but it was in response to Colin Kaepernick, and then people's reaction to Colin Kaepernick, which is very fitting, and I wish we could have played this on a loop 3 years ago, but here's Bill Burr.
No, everything has just become f***ing absolutes in the States. It's f***ing nuts. Like that Colin Kaepernick guy, right? You knew when he was like protesting during the national anthem, no one was going to listen to what the he had to say, no matter how much he explained it. He goes, "I'm taking a knee during the national anthem. This is a protest about police brutality, the way people of color are treated. We'd like to open a dialogue." He got about halfway through that. People are like, "My brother's fighting in Iraq, you piece of shit." It's just like, buddy, nobody is saying your brother isn't in Iraq fighting. You're not listening. This is about police brutality. My brother's a firefighter. He watched 9/11 on television. No, buddy. Nobody's saying that your brother's not a firefighter. I got a bone spur in my heel. I can still stand up during the f***ing song. Buddy, nobody is saying you can't see a f***ing podiatrist. All right? You're not listening.
That's so true. Because you hear Drew Brees yesterday being like, both my grandfathers were in the in the World War II.
Like, the guy, okay. That one who was like, he's like, I'm a firefighter. I watched that.
Okay.
It's like,
that's great.
It's like,
that's not what we're saying.
I know a guy who knows a guy who's a weekend firefighter.
Yeah. Yeah. So, geez, you're practically 7 degrees away from being a firefighter yourself.
I got bone spurs in my
head. I can still stand. Great.
Yeah, that's going to be funny. Okay, Bill Burr. Okay. He's from Massachusetts. I Googled him.
Oh, yeah. He's a
Boston
guy.
Okay.
He's hilarious.
All right. That was one of the comedians. Maybe I have to check him out.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of his specials around Netflix, too. Okay. So you can watch that.
Netflix does a good job with the
comedy specials.
Yeah, they do.
So, Eddie Murphy, you mentioned Dolomite, and that's on our poll, Dale Keefe, WEEI. Eddie Murphy was going to be on, he's like getting more stand-up specials, which I was like a little leery of because I'm like, we haven't seen him in a long time.
Right.
But he was so good in Dolomite, and then he was really good when he hosted SNL that I'm like, you know what? Maybe he's going to be good again.
It's just as long as he doesn't try to be apologetic about his comedy. Like Dave Chappelle's last...
Oh, yeah. He's not apologizing for that.
His last comedy special, which is on Netflix. You got to see it. Like, he just says, you know what? I'm here to make people laugh. I'm talking about everybody, anybody. And, you know, if you're offended, don't come to my show. And so hopefully Eddie won't kind of go down that route of like where he has to feel like he's got to be politically correct, you know, when he's doing his show.
All right. That's it. That's all the time we have. Wiggy, great stuff again today. You're in tomorrow with Greg Hill?
Yeah. 6 to 10.
All right, good stuff. So Andy Hart will be in tomorrow with us on a Friday. We'll have our week in review. Shime's going to have some bets for you for the weekend.
Keep voting Dolomite.
And keep voting at Dale Keefe, WEEI, on the Twitter. Let us know what movie we're going to be talking about next week. That'll do it for us. We will talk tomorrow at 10. OMF is next right here on WEEI.
Touch on his balls.
That's all, folks. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.